Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and those listening internationally over the internet at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 11th day of March 2019, and I am delighted to have two first-time guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio today. We have Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, and they're going to be discussing something that I think is a very important topic, a topic that I have addressed in part in the past. I have addressed it by interviewing people involved in open-air preaching. And unless I'm suffering from a bad memory, I don't think, though, however, that I've ever done a full two-hour program specifically on the topic of on-air preaching for the full length of the program, and that's what we're doing today. We're going to be discussing a book written by Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, published by Reformation Heritage Books, titled A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching. And our guests include, as I mentioned just before, Ryan Denton, who was a pastor on the Navajo Reservation before starting Christ in the Wilderness Ministries, which he has directed since 2016, and Scott Smith, who ran a classical Christian school for 17 years in Orlando, Florida, before going into open-air preaching ministry full-time. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ryan Denton and Scott Smith.
Thanks for having us on.
It's great to have you on. First of all, since you guys are both first-time first-time guests, I should say, I want you to give a summary of your salvation testimonies. What kind of religious background you were raised in, if any, and what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your lives to draw you to himself and save you. And we'll have you do that in a moment. But I want, Ryan, for you to make sure our listeners know what Christ in the Wilderness, or Christ in the Wild, I'm sorry, Christ in the Wild Ministries is.
Sir, yeah. So I started it, as you said, in 2016, and our primary focus is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ outside of the church. And we do that in several locations that can include jails and homeless shelters, but primarily it is through open-air preaching, college campuses, sporting events, really just wherever there are masses, we try to bring the gospel out and preach it. And we also try to equip local churches, other open-air ministers in just open-air preaching. And so there is a lot of interest being raised up in open-air preaching these days, I think. And so one of our roles, you know, to the extent that we can do that, one of our roles in our ministry is to come alongside and help churches and also just men to further engage the lost through open air preaching. And so we're based out of El Paso, Texas. We try to do quite a bit in the Southwest and in the West, but we do also go around the world at times.
Okay, now if you could, Ryan, give us a summary of your salvation testimony, starting with what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in.
Yeah, so I'm 33 now, and I was saved when I was 22, and I was brought up in a household that, you know, we went to church on Sundays, but every now and then, but you wouldn't really see much of the Bible as far as just as a regular principle of life, and so it was in a rather conservative area, so there's a lot of nominal Christianity going on. Whenever I left high school, I had no interest in the faith whatsoever, and really throughout high school, I had no interest in the faith, and so really kind of just turned into one of the your usual, you know, party animals and rebels and everything else under the sun until I was 22, and then I always look back on it, and you know, I always attribute it especially to God's sovereignty. I mean, if there's any question at all, I think for me, it's always just being able to look back on my life and see God's sovereignty, because what he did is, so I had friends who had died, you know, growing up and in high school and things like that. I always had friends that died, but there was a particular case when one of my friends died, and he was not even, he wasn't a close friend. He was more like an acquaintance. But for some reason, I mean, when he died, the Lord just used it in a mighty way to actually just spark this fear of mortality, but more than anything else, the judgment to come, really. And I never had a problem knowing that God existed. You know, I always knew he did, and I'm just like everyone else, but that was never the issue. It's just a matter of seeing God as something to desire. And whenever my friend died, the Lord gave me a hunger for the Word. That was really the only place I knew where to go. So I started reading the Bible, and by God's grace, a few months later, I was on my face regularly, seeking the Lord and praying, and really just came to know the Lord through that experience and through other things too. But to summarize, that's really what happened. And then from there, you know, it's just a matter of running the race. And so for the last 10 years, by God's grace, that's what I'm trying to do.
Wow. The similarity between your testimony and mine is remarkable. I was growing up as a kid in a Roman Catholic home. I never doubted the existence of Jesus Christ. I never doubted that he was I never doubted that he was God. But I was obviously an unregenerate young man. It became more obvious when I became a teenager and was living a very rebellious life. And I was starting to think more seriously about my own mortality because of the fact that most young people really think they're going to live forever. They don't even have it in their mind. They can't even conceive not only dying, but being a middle-aged person with a spouse and children and all those other things. And I was beginning to notice the fact and think more deeply about my mortality when I had heard about friends and acquaintances, just like you had experienced, who had died, and typically in tragic accidents, and always involving drugs or alcohol. And so it's pretty remarkable. Now, you also obviously had a calling upon your life, placed there by God, to become a pastor, and not only a pastor, but a pastor on a Navajo reservation. Now, tell us about that.
Right. So that was, and I praise God for the experiences of being a pastor. I've really been able to appreciate the work of pastoral ministry and really the church. And that came about. I grew up in New Mexico, always had a burden for New Mexico. And I actually grew up on the other side of New Mexico from where the Navajo Reservation is. So didn't really have a lot of experience there. I did go to school in Albuquerque, so was familiar a little bit with the Navajo culture. But really the thing that attracted me to that area was all of the evangelism that was needed over there and still is. But the role of that church, as far as what that church really needed at the time, it seemed like was just a lot of evangelism. And so I was very naive on the one hand, because I went in assuming that if you wanted to preach, you have to be a pastor. And so I think that was kind of where certainly a mistaken understanding of you know, different offices in the church. But that was my idea. So in other words, I was looking for a place to preach. I was attracted to all of the evangelism in that area. I had a burden for New Mexico. my wife and I went over there and fell in love with the people there, and we still love the people over there dearly. They're great support to us. We were there for about 2 years, and along the way, I started kind of realizing that my heart and the burden that I have is really not necessarily for pastoral ministry per se, but to preach the gospel. I mean, I was doing more ministry outside of the church than I was inside the church, just because of a naive understanding of what the role of a pastor is. And so as I was pastoring, I started meeting other pastors and talking to other pastors and realized, you know, these men have been really called to be pastors, and we have different burdens, and I started seeing that, and so try to be transparent with the church, and they were very gracious and understood, because they had seen me doing a lot of ministry in the jails and in the prisons and the open air and things like that. So they totally understood, and they actually supported us and sent us out to be, or sent me out to be an open air preacher, or to have more of an evangelistic ministry in El Paso, Texas, where we are now. So that's again, in a nutshell, kind of how that came about.
Well, I hope I remember to repeat this information later, but anybody who wants to learn more about Christ in the Wild Ministries, go to christinthewild.com. Very easy to remember, christinthewild.com. And I intend to repeat that throughout the program, but my brain is dissolving in my skull as I get older, and I sometimes don't remember to do these things. And now, Scott Smith, if you could give us a summary of your own salvation testimony, what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances were raised up in your life by our sovereign Lord to draw you to himself and save you.
Sure, that'd be my pleasure. So I was raised Roman Catholic and in a nominal Roman Catholic family, and had absolutely no interest in anything that had to do with religion. Thought it was all baloney. And really just living, you know, a life of open rebellion against God. And, you know, when you live a life of rebellion against God, if God is calling you, he often has to use some very trying circumstances to awaken you. And he decided to do that with me. And so I was probably at the point where I was either going to kill somebody else or kill myself. I mean, it was about that extreme. And what happened was I decided to leave the continental U.S. and take a trip down into Australia and across Asia. I was thinking of it as an Asian truth tour. I was going to spend about 2 years just kind of making my way. And the first place I decided to stop was Honolulu, Hawaii. And so I got to Honolulu, and right before I left, a friend of mine who was going to be an Episcopal priest, who actually is not converted himself, but he gave me a Bible, and he said, you know, I can see your life is in a pickle here, and why don't I give you this Bible? Maybe this will do you some good. So, oh, yeah, right. So I stuck it in my bag, but I didn't really give any thought. And so I got to Honolulu, and the very first day I was there, I had no money. I didn't have the fare to get to Australia. I was basically just enough to get to, you know, to Honolulu. So I'm walking down the street, 6 in the morning, and a car pulls up. The guy rolls his window down, and he says to me, hey, do you need a ride? And I said, well, I'm not hitchhiking. I'm just, but I said, where are you going? And he said, well, I'm going to downtown Honolulu. I said, well, yeah, okay. I'll take a ride down there because that's where I'm going. I was moving, you know, I was walking toward a bus station. So I got in his car, and the guy immediately said to me, Lord Jesus Christ told me to stop and pick you up, that God is calling to you to turn from your sins. He can deliver you from your sins. He can set you free. And I said, buddy, pull the car over. And he said, I'm serious. I'm serious. I will knock your teeth out, and I will break your face across the front of your car. And I started swearing at him. I made him pull over. I jumped out of his car. And I thought to myself, what kind of idiots do they have over here in Honolulu? So I walk about another 200 yards to the place where the bus stop was for me to pick up this bus to get to downtown Honolulu. I sat on the bus stop. It's about 6 in the morning. And another person did the exact same thing to me. They walked up. Said, the Lord told me to come down here this morning to tell you that Jesus is calling to you to turn from your sins. He can free you. He can save your soul. He can give you a reason to live. And at this point, I was spooked. I mean, the anger had gone. I was like, what is going on over here? So I said, well, whatever, dude. So I kind of blew him off. And the bus pulls up. And I climb on the bus, and a lady hands me a gospel tract as I'm moving toward the seats of the bus. And so for the first time in my life, I actually read a gospel tract. And having been raised Roman Catholic, I didn't have any idea about the blood being shed for me. I didn't have any idea about Jesus Christ earning my righteousness. I didn't really understand that he was calling the sinners to come to him. And so in my cocky, sort of arrogant way, I sat on the bus, I read the track, and I said, okay, God, I said, if you are really calling to me, if this is real, then I need you to show me. I need a sign. And here's the sign I want you to give me. I want you to give me the first job I apply for. That was my arrogant prayer. Well, didn't think another thing of it. Took the bus down to downtown Honolulu, got off the bus, bought a newspaper, and I noticed that they were looking for a painter at a school called the Kamehameha Private School. I didn't know at the time that the Kamehameha Private School was the world's largest private school, and it had been endowed by Queen Kamehameha when she sold Waikiki Beach to the developers for multiple millions of dollars, and so she'd endowed a school.
Wow.
And so I didn't know any of this. I just saw they needed a painter, and I figured I'd beef up my resume and lie a little bit if I had to, and just get a painting job, and that would give me enough money to, you know, get to Australia and start my Asian truth tour. So I went down there, applied for the job, padded the resume a little bit, i.e. lied, and didn't get the job right away, and I kept calling them. I'd call them in the morning, I'd call them at night. I'm like, hey, I'm the guy that applied for the painting job. I'm ready. And the fellow that was in charge of hiring said, look, if we need you, we'll call you. And finally, I just figured I'd worn him down.
So you're the guy. You're the guy that lied on his job application. You are the guy that did that.
I was the guy. Well, I made it sound like I was a super experienced painter. I mean, I understood how to paint a house, climb a ladder, but I was not like a journeyman painter with a lot of skill. I was a guy that could get a job done and, you know, work hard if I had to. So I just figured, like everything else, I could fix it by the seat of my pants if I got hired. So anyway. He finally says, all right, tell you what, just come in tomorrow, we'll start. So I get there, this is like Friday morning, so I applied for the job on a Monday morning. On Friday morning, he said, come on in. So I come in, and I notice as I'm filling out the paperwork for the job that everybody's looking at me like I'm from, like, another planet. And I was really kind of weird. It was just so noticeable, like people come out of the rooms and looking at me, and people could, you know. So finally, after I fill out the paperwork and I get with my painting crew, this fellow named Bambino, who was kind of the journeyman on the painting crew, he pulled me off to the side and he said, I got to ask you. He says, who do you know on the board of this school that pulled strings for you to get this job? And I said, I don't know anybody. I'm from Boston. I've only been here 4 days. What do you mean? I said, I just applied. And, you know, he said, no. He said, tell me the truth. Who pulled the strings to get you this job? And I said, listen, no one pulled the strings. I don't know anybody here. And he said to me, that's a miracle. And I said, what's so miraculous about that? And he said, you're the first non-Hawaiian to be hired here in 88 years. He said, this is a school that Queen Kamehameha specifically said if you were, you had to be Hawaiian to work here, and you had to be Hawaiian to go here.
Wow.
Then I understood why everybody was looking at me. I was the only white face at the whole campus. And so when he said it's a miracle, I remembered that cocky prayer on the bus when I had said God had to show me. And when I get home that night, I fell on my face and I cried out to the Lord to forgive me. And I said, I will serve you every day of my life if you can save my soul and get me out of this mess I've made of my life. And so I have not been faithful to him, but he has been faithful to me.
Amen.
And it wasn't just, and the next day, that Saturday, I'd been converted literally about 4 hours. I took a walk. And as I was walking through a park, out of nowhere, I see a man standing on a park bench preaching. And I looked at that man, and he looked at me, and I said to myself, that is what I'm going to do. It was like I immediately knew there was not anything more important than me taking a stand for Christ after what God had done for me.
Wow.
So that was the first miraculous thing that God did. But when I canceled the Asian Truth Tour, started memorizing hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, came back to Boston, witness to my Catholic family, they thought I'd, you know, completely lost my mind. And, you know, realized the Lord was sort of showing me, Scott, you need to get your feet on the ground, get a regular job, get a life of normalcy. So that life of normalcy led to eventually over many years, and I can tell you more of the trial later, but ultimately God gave me the idea to start a classical Christian prep school in Florida after I had gotten out of seminary. And so he literally dropped the idea in my head, and I started a classical school. I had 3 campuses around Orlando. And everything was going great, and then about 10 years ago, I felt strongly that it was time now to go into full-time campus preaching. And so that's basically when I made the change was in May of 2010.
Just out of curiosity, was Central Baptist Church of Honolulu at all involved in your conversion or your early days as a Christian?
No, I went to an Assemblies of God church. I was so out of control, even after Christian. When I say out of control, meaning I was very self-centered, and I really didn't ever let anybody tell me anything. So I kind of marched into an Assemblies of God church and sort of fit in pretty good there right away and got baptized. But I was only there for 3 months, and then I went back to Boston.
The only reason I ask is that providentially, very recently, a listener, Mike, emailed me asking for a church recommendation in Honolulu because he was visiting his son there. And I told him about Central Baptist Church in Honolulu, which is a Reformed Baptist church. Pastor Chapman is there, and he wrote back and said he really loved it. So I was just curious.
Oh, great.
I was just curious.
Great. Well, yeah, no, I went into Assembly of God Church, and I immediately told the pastor, and he wanted me to speak in tongues, which I never did, but I told him immediately I wanted to be a pastor, because that's all I understood at the time was, I guess that's what you do is you become a pastor. But in God's providence, I became a businessman. And I basically, before I ran that school, I basically was involved in buying and selling real estate and made a lot of money. And then the Lord providentially took me to the mat and took it all away, which was very important sanctification that he had to do in my life. And it's out of that misery and difficulty that he brought me to seminary. And then after seminary, right away, gave me the idea to start a Christian school. So there was a lot of preparation for me. It sounds like Ryan was moved into frontline ministry pretty quickly. For me, it was about a 30-year lead-up because God had to do so many deep things sanctification-wise in my life that I was just so ill-prepared to be any kind of real good witness for Christ. But I never forgot the desire I had to make exalting him my primary mission.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Well, we are going to be going into our theme momentarily, the specific theme on open-air preaching, and even more specifically, the book that was written by our guests today, Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching. I love that title, A Certain Sound. And this is a publication of Reformation Heritage Books, and their website is heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org, for more details on that. Just so I can let you know right away, you could also order that book through one of our sponsors, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, at cvbbs.com. That's CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS, which stands for Bible Book Service.com, cvbbs.com. Please tell them at CVBBS that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Trippin's Iron Radio when placing the order. We're going to go to a station break in a second, our first station break. But before we go to the break, I just want to whet your appetite by reading a few of the commendations that have been written about this book. First of all, Rob Ventura, who has been a guest on Iron Trippin' Zion Radio several times, pastor at Grace Community Baptist Church in North Providence, Rhode Island, and co-author of A Portrait of Paul and Spiritual Warfare. Rob Ventura said about this book, "A Certain Sound by Ryan Denton and Scott Smith is a welcome contribution to the contemporary discussion on open-air preaching. From a perspective deeply grounded in the Christian tradition and Reformed and Puritan theology, Denton and Smith defend the ministry of street preaching in a firm but moderate tone. Everyone who practices open-air preaching or who is interested in its biblical basis must read this book." And I think I just read Sam Waldron's. That was Sam Waldron's commendation.
I thought it sounded familiar.
That was Sam Waldron. Sam Waldron is academic dean and professor of systematic theology at Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary and a pastor of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Owensboro, Kentucky. And I've had Sam on the program a number of times as well, and I think this is a good reminder to get him back, and Rob Ventura also. Here's Rob Ventura's commendation. A Certain Sound is a well-written, carefully crafted, scripturally saturated book that was a joy to read. As one who has many years' experience with open-air preaching, I thank God for this stirring call to the church to fulfill one of her main duties, namely, preaching Jesus to every creature. Read this book, master it, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, let the certain sound of the glorious gospel of Christ be heard outdoors once again. And finally, Al Baker, who I've also had on this program, but not in quite a while, another reminder to get Al back on. Al Baker, evangelist with Presbyterian Evangelistic Fellowship and author of Evangelistic Preaching in the 21st Century. Al says, without question, there is a resurgence of open-air preaching in the United States. I, for one, welcome it. But I know many others in the Reformed and Evangelical Church world are highly skeptical. I, too, have observed many who have given open-air preaching a bad name and brought disrepute on the practice. For this reason, I have for some time wished someone would write an apologetic book for open-air preaching, and I believe we now have such an important book in A Certain Sound, a primer on open-air preaching. The authors are seasoned open-air preachers with whom I have preached several times in the streets of America. They are passionate, reformed, and Christ-centered in their preaching. I urge pastors, evangelists, and laypeople to read this book, and hopefully God will use it to lend credibility to the practice and to inspire churches everywhere to get behind open-air preaching. Once again, that was Al Baker. Well, those are quite powerful endorsements for this book, and I hope that you begin to call family, friends, and loved ones and have them tune in to the program. And it seems that I have been told that the Iron Sharpens Iron website is having a bit of difficulty today. I don't know why. This is news to me for the first time. But you could tell your family, friends, and loved ones to listen at firstloveradio.org. They can hear it live streaming there as well. firstloveradio.org. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away, God willing. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It.
at wng.org/podcast. That's W for world, N for news, G for group, .org/podcast.
Thrive and Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guests today, our two guests today, are Ryan Denton and Scott Smith. They are co-authors of the book that we are addressing today on open-air preaching. The book is titled A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, I think our listeners might, who are unfamiliar with exactly what open-air preaching is. I mean, the name, the title, is somewhat self-explanatory, but there are, as you both know, a wide spectrum of people who do this, and as even some of your accolades that you received from people who love your book, one of the reasons they are happy you wrote the book is that there are many who give this a bad name. There are many who practice this and appear to look nothing more than lunatics. And of course, we know that those who preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, who are accurately proclaiming His word and so on, even to the unsaved, are very often appearing to be nothing more than lunatics. But there are others that would truly deserve a description like that. But tell us about, in summary, what is open-air preaching as far as a biblically accurate and appropriate form of this, and why you two felt the need to write this book. In fact, I may be not remembering correctly, but I know that Tony Miano wrote a book about his experiences as an open-air preacher, but that was more involving the actual experiences of those he had met in public and those that he led to Christ and some of their background stories. But as far as a primer on open-air preaching, is this the first one? I'm not familiar with any others right now.
Yes, I think that's part of the reason for writing the book is that there's really no literature out there for open-air preaching. And I think, you know, for anybody who is first feeling the call, Scott mentioned his call to open-air preach. I think it really is a calling. I think certain men are just gripped by open-air preaching, whether they see it live or whether they see it maybe on a video. But there's something that the Lord really does as far as just stirring men to go forth and to do it. And I know my experience, and Scott can speak to his own, but I know for a fact I was searching desperately for any kind of information out there on open-air preaching. And unfortunately, you know, I think Scott and I would both say, you know, a great place for that ideally would be the local church. But the difficulty, I think, the complication that might arise is the fact that a lot of local churches are just not, they haven't really come across it. So they don't really know what to do as far as somebody coming to them and saying, hey, I feel like the Lord's calling me to open air preach. Aside from the fact, because this happened to me, it's, you know, aside from the fact of maybe a and they're not all this way, of course, but a lot of pastors and ministers in general think, well, open-air preaching is just for the crazy guys, and you don't want to do that. And so I think just the fact that there's a dearth of information out there that's quality, you know, that's theologically based, I know, and Scott felt the same way, there needed to be something done about that, and that's one of the primary reasons why we wrote that.
And Scott, if you could give us, Scott, a definition of what biblical open-air preaching, or at least biblically faithful open-air preaching, is.
Well, you know, if you're not exalting Christ enough, you're not working from a scripture, then you're not doing open-air preaching the way I think it ought to be done. So those are my first two preconceptions, is A, you have a text that you're preaching from, and B, you're heading toward Christ. Doesn't matter where you are in the Bible, but if you know what you're doing, you're going to get to Christ and you're going to make much of Him. That's the goal. But getting to Christ also involves laying the foundation of broken law. In other words, these are people who need a Savior. They don't just need somebody to recommend some good ideas or give them some good advice. They need a Savior from the power of sin and from the guilt of sin. So you've got to accurately explain the problem. And if you don't accurately explain the problem, and if you don't use the law to bring the knowledge of sin, and, of course, the Holy Spirit ultimately having to do the real work here, of course, but the instrumentality would be to open up the law of God. And then once it's clear that a person has an understanding of what their problem is, then, of course, we have a great Savior, and we love to make much of him and to show how he and he alone saves men from their sins without God negotiating any of the perfection of his own justice. So to me, opener preaching is using the Bible, laying the foundation of broken law, pointing to the great Savior Jesus Christ on the basis of what he did in his sinless life and what he did in his substitutory bloodshedding for his people. And that's why that title, A Certain Sound, meant a lot to me and it meant a lot to Brian. We didn't want it to be unmistakable, or rather mistakable, as if somehow Arminian preaching is the same as Reformed preaching, or the Pelagian preaching is the same as Reformed preaching. It's not. And we're not trying to manipulate people. We trust completely in God bringing his elect to faith. And so we don't see any reason to kowtow or mince words, but by the same token, we could be very ministerial, very gracious and kind in our invitation to, you know, call on the name of the Lord. So that probably is more than what you were bargaining for, but that's how I look at it.
That's exactly what I was looking for. And, well, let's go through some very important, basically, things that we need to touch on to give a more comprehensive understanding of open-air preaching and how it should be biblically and appropriately conducted for our listeners. Can you give us both some of a history of open-air preaching, the figure that immediately comes to mind, or should I say the two that immediately comes to mind or come to mind? In the Bible, we have John the Baptist, obviously. And in much more recent history, although not that recent, we have George Whitefield. But if you could, give us a history of open-air preaching.
Yeah, I think if all the way back to Noah. You know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You have Jonah, of course, most of the prophets, not all the prophets, they're open-air preachers. Even Moses. Moses did a lot. I guess you could say Moses did all of his addresses in the open air. Solomon, David, Ezra, of course, they were preaching in the open air. And to me, I think that's what open-air preaching is. It really is just going, like Scott's saying, going to the masses with the gospel and lifting our voices about it. And so I think that's why there's not, you know, look in the New Testament, too, like you mentioned John the Baptist, but even, you know, a lot of times people think, well, yeah, it's, you know, the Old Testament I understand because they didn't have buildings. But even when you get into the old into the New Testament, you have synagogues, and yet, where do you find Jesus doing most of his preaching? It's on the side of a boat. It's in the mountains. It's in the fields. It's in these towns. Same thing when you go into the book of Acts. And then I think for me, my favorite part about open-air preaching, I guess the history of open-air preaching, is even the early church. You know, when we were writing this book and trying to dig through and trying to find, I guess, examples in the early church, there were plenty of examples. As far as just open-air preachers, Irenaeus was an open-air preacher. And then you have especially a lot of guys in the Middle Ages. Strangely enough, St. Francis of Assisi was an open-air preacher. But I think the neatest thing about open-air preaching is that it was, to me, it's the launching pad of the Reformation. Because they were not allowed to preach, of course, in these what they would call church settings. So the only way that you could preach the gospel was to go out and preach it there. And so even with John Wycliffe and then the Lollers and guys like that, John Knox, John Huss was an open-air preacher. And so even the Puritans, I ran into something yesterday. Whitfield mentioned something about the Puritans having to go to the highways and the hedges and preach the gospel there. So I think the beauty of open-air preaching is that if you're looking for a historical basis, both biblically and extra-biblical resources, they're out there. It's just a matter of being able to see why it is that God is using that, and it's the same thing today. Cornelius Van Til, he's probably the most surprising figure to me, the Westminster professor. I mean, he's out there in New York City preaching on a regular basis. So it's out there. It's just a matter of looking into it and finding it. And that's part of what the book uncovers.
Yeah, that's a great sketch there, Ryan. And you know, just as we had a decline, starting really with, in my view, Wesley, in understanding the sovereignty of God in this process. And I know God used Wesley, but not understanding the sovereignty of God in this process, I think there was a lot of manipulation. So when you eventually get up to the point of, let's say, Billy Graham with the altar calls and the decisional regeneration, all of this stuff, I felt like nothing short of a sort of like a paradigm shift or just a complete overthrowing of the old way of doing stuff, and just again getting out in the public with an open Bible, taking a stand for Christ, let whoever it is that wants to criticize you come up and answer their objections, their comments, their smart remarks, and get it right back out in the open like it used to be, when men who believed in Jesus Christ were fearless. And yeah, you're going to get some turbulence, but whatever happened to church militant? I mean, we get guys that push papers around in their offices, and I'm not opposed to preparing a message, but I'm opposed to pushing papers around and not being on the front lines. And so I felt like we reform guys in particular needed to step it up, take a stand for Christ, and then sort of let the chips fly where they may. And we had so much historical proof that men have done this in the past that the only thing holding us back really was our own unbelief and our own carnal fear. And those are two things that have to be mortified.
Well, let's move on to another important aspect of this, because as I already mentioned, there are heretics and lunatics doing this. and of course, it's interesting that somebody would use that as a reason to not be involved in open-air preaching, because there are lunatics and heretics in probably most of the pulpits in the world. So I mean, if we view the truly regenerate church as being a minority in the world, you would have to come to the conclusion that that would be the case. But why on earth? It's mind-boggling to me. But why on earth are there theologically sound men, those that have an excellent reputation for handling the Word of God appropriately, rightly dividing the Word of Truth, faithful shepherds in nearly every aspect you can imagine, and yet there are some, even under those categories, who are opposed to open-air preaching? Why would that be?
You want to give your feedback first, Ryan?
Yeah, that's I think, the age-old question. I mean, I don't know if there's a specific answer. I think Scott hit on two of them. And I also, I would say, just coming from a perspective of pastoral ministry, you know, it's true, like in Ephesians 4, that Jesus Christ gives gifts to people. And I think when you're looking at, let's say, the gifting or the calling of a pastoral role, it is different than what you have with an evangelist. And I think both are burdened about something, and to an extent, they're both burdened about the church. But I think a pastor generally is very burdened, and it's a good thing, you know, very burdened about the local church, the flock, and feeding the flock and shepherding the flock. So he has his eyes primarily on the flock. And I think when it comes to the evangelist, the burden is really going out with the gospel. The problem, I think, is a lack of fusion between the two. I think the two should be fused. In other words, I think, you know, when we go out and we preach in the open air, there's a lot of pastoral situations that take place on a regular basis. Just people coming up with different questions, questions out of the blue, questions about suicide, questions about whether or not you're saved, questions about what a Christian is. And so these are very pastoral situations. On the other hand, I think, to the extent that a pastor, even though he's burdened about the flock, to the extent that he's able to go out and not necessarily preach in the open air, but do evangelistic preaching to the lost, primarily engage with the lost to an extent, I think what it does is it provides a more rounded perspective of really just ministry in general. And so I think there is that lack of just that lack of perspective, as far as most pastors are engaged with local church stuff only. And again, that's a good thing, but there should also be the going out with the gospel. Just the same thing, you know, as open-air preachers, if we were just concerned or engaged with just preaching, not having any concern with the people that we encounter or engage, I think there would be a deficit there also. And so that's what I would say. It's hard to come up with a clear-cut answer, but I think that's part of the reason.
You know, I take a bigger, a little bit bigger perspective at times on this, and here's what I mean. God is controlling history, and I think God has allowed the muscular, militant, manly aspect of Christianity to sort of have a dip, kind of a low dip right now. But I think it's going to be on the uprise again. I think the men that are going to become ministers in the next 20, 30 years are going to have to be just much more thick-skinned men.
Now, when you say that, just to make it clear to our listeners, because obviously you and I believe in the sovereignty of God over all things, and even something that is very tragic and horrible that happens in the church is not beyond the control of God. But when you say that... that God, in his sovereignty, perhaps has even ordained this dip in the masculine approach to evangelism and Christianity, you're not saying that God is pleased with this. You're just saying that it's a horrible thing. It's a regrettable thing. It's a tragic thing, but God is in control nonetheless.
Yeah, God's definitely in control. And, for whatever reason... it just has not been the culture of the church to march men onto the front lines and expect to get resistance, unless you're a missionary in a Muslim country or something. So it seems like the culture of the church has gone toward, hey, let's get along, let's not rock the boat, let's, you know, kind of find the synthesis between kind of Americanism and Christianity. And so, you know, we've been accepted, we haven't been persecuted. So now when a guy steps up and invites persecution for the gospel, a lot of the culture of the church is, wow, this is totally wrong. Now, admittedly, some guys are Pelagian, and some guys are mean, and some guys are ignorant, and there's no way to stop those guys. But the antidote, if there is an antidote, is when Ryan and I get out there, we try to show that we're concerned about the people, we're willing to educate them, we're willing to answer their questions. And the people who, the auditors, the people listening to you when you're on a campus, let's say, they know the difference between a guy that just wants to yell at them and a guy who genuinely has a message and genuinely cares about his audience and willing to be reasonable, not unauthoritative. We still preach with authority, but we're willing to be very reasonable with the auditors, understanding that they may have a very negative view of open-air preaching, especially on college campuses. So, sadly, that spilled over into the church, so that a lot of ministers, when they think about open-air preaching, they probably think of either, A, the bad examples, or they may think, B, you know, that was for an earlier time. Like, I remember one time contacting the chaplain up at Harvard, the RUF guy, and I told him I was going to be up at Harvard preaching and wanted to see if he wanted to come out or pass out tracts or just let me meet him. And he basically said, no, I don't want to meet you. The Harvard community is not interested in open-air preaching. Well, this is a guy with an evangelical MDiv. I won't say from where. But you know, a guy that I think was legitimately born again, but it's just so foreign now to the mindset of the ministers as they come out of seminary that anybody would ever get any resistance for the things that they do. And it's really, candidly, some of it's just flat-out unbelief. We get some resistance from guys that just don't believe that the Word of God will be effectual, though the Bible says that it will be. And so that's another big problem that I've faced, is unbelief among ministers. That really, God's Word won't be effectual.
And do you
preach in the open air.
And do you think that a part of that, especially if you're talking about people who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, people who believe in the gospel, those that are opposed to open-air preaching, they are either consciously or unconsciously embarrassed by what the Bible teaches and would rather have it confined within the four walls of a building where those that already believe it are going to be the majority gathered there. Whereas when you're in the open air, there's a very strong likelihood, depending upon where you are preaching in the open air, that the majority hearing the person preaching are going to be people who are totally foreign to what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
They may even range from being indifferent to it to being openly and vehemently hostile to it. And there are many people, just like there are many individual Christians who attend worship services every Sunday and perhaps twice Sunday and perhaps even on Wednesday and maybe even more than that, who they're truly born again. They are studious in searching the unsearchable riches of Scripture, and they are, in many respects, very wonderful pictures of what a Christian should be, but their major flaw in their life, and it's a serious flaw, is that they're embarrassed about being in the open air and proclaiming these things in a way other than sitting down in a Starbucks and very quietly chatting about them in a cordial manner, as opposed to a man thundering his voice and proclaiming very uncomfortable truths to the populace listener. Do you think it's embarrassment?
I think that's part of it. And to me, it's multifaceted. I'm sure Ryan sees it, in some different ways as well. But, it is multifaceted. Some of it's an embarrassment. Like I had a minister come up to me up in Portland, Maine last summer where I was preaching, and we had a lot of people that were interested, but he saw a few people kind of lifting their eyes like, what a goofball, or, something like this. So when so after I was on preaching, he came over to me and he said, this is not effective. You're harming my efforts to plant a church here. I'm an evangelical pastor, and, this really should take place in the church. And so I gently at first, gently tried to help him think through the scripture a little more clearly. But then I realized it was embarrassment for him, and he didn't want to be associated with it. And so that is definitely part of it. But part of it is fear. Some men are just fearful men, and they don't want to, they've never learned how faithful Christ is when you're in the midst of difficult circumstances. The Bible says he sets a table before you in the midst of your enemies, but if you're never among the enemies, you never see God's table. So the one thing a street preacher has is experience with God, and not just experience in the prayer closet, but an experience of getting out in front of a crowd, needing Christ in a way you don't need him in many settings, and seeing how faithful God is when you rely entirely upon him for the courage to open your mouth. Because I used to shake like a leaf in the wind, but it's over time, when God shows himself faithful and says, son, calm down, I got the whole thing under control. And as you begin to see that that is really true and that God is in control of the crowd and you are immortal until he calls you home, it engenders a boldness and a comfortable, restful assurance that, that God is going to see you through. And I think a lot of ministers don't have that. And I think that's another reason why they don't get out there, because if a minister had seen that over a period of time, he would know the only thing to fear is fear itself. It's not a real fear. But here's where I come back to God's sovereignty. The kind of preparation God put in Ryan's life, the kind of preparation he put in my life, the kind of preparation it seems to me he's put in the lives of at least 20 or 30 street preachers that I know that are reformed, is careful crafting. And part of that is putting you in situations where you have to rely on the Lord, and then he shows himself strong on your behalf, and that's part of your preparation as an open-air preacher. And so I wouldn't categorically criticize the ministers, because I think a lot of these ministers have not been formed that way. But, I just don't think we can sum it up to one thing. I think part of it's embarrassment, part of it's God's preparation for them in a different way, part of it is just fear, part of it's unbelief, part of it is a church culture that just is not at all interested in kind of rocking the boat.
Yeah, theology. Theology is a big reason also, I think.
Yeah, in fact, we have to go to the theology part, which I'm actually was intending to go to, but I sidetracked myself and everybody else. But we have to go to the theology, probably the most important aspect of the whole discussion, when we return from the break. And by the way, I want to thank you. I can't remember if it was Ryan or Scott, but thank you for providing probably the only truthful statement that Franklin Delano Roosevelt ever uttered. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. But that's an exaggeration, of course. But anyway, I don't mean the statement. I mean my comment about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We're going to our midway break right now. It's a longer break than normal because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, they have to air their own public service announcements and their own commercials during this time during the broadcast. So we air our own commercials that are heard globally. And so during this time, this elongated break, use this time wisely to write down the information provided by my advertisers, because the more you patronize my advertisers, the more you are going to likely lengthen the life of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because we need the advertising dollars from our sponsors to exist. So please patronize our advertisers as much as you can and write down the information that they provide so that you can more frequently and successfully do so. Also, take this time to write down questions for Ryan Denton and Scott Smith on open air preaching. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878, 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Tune
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our two guests today for the entire 2 hours are, we have Ryan Denton of Christ in the Wild Ministries, and we also have Scott Smith, who is co-author with Ryan of the new book, A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching. In fact, the book is so new, it is not quite available yet in print, but it's going to be available, God willing, any day now. So we will keep you updated on that as well. Before I return to our discussion with Ryan and Scott, I just have a few announcements to make regarding upcoming special events that we hope that you attend. First of all, coming up right around the corner, in fact, it's this Friday and Saturday, March 15th and the 16th, the Sanctification Through Suffering Conference is being held in Freehold, New Jersey. And unlike the way I just pronounced it, it's one word, Freehold, New Jersey. Freehold, New Jersey. And the speakers include Justin Peters, Frank Mullis, Joe Suozzo, and Colleen Sharp. If you would like more details on attending the Sanctification Through Suffering Conference, go to strivingforeternity.org, strivingforeternity.org. Then coming up right in my backyard on May 28th through the 30th, we have the Banner of Truth's East Coast Ministers Conference, which I will be attending, God willing, and hope that you attend with me also if you can get out there by train, plane, or automobile. I attend this conference every year. I have been every year since I moved to Pennsylvania, having lived in New York my entire life, and I have been loving these conferences that the Banner of Truth orchestrates. The theme this year, May 28th through the 30th, is I Believe in the Holy Spirit, and the speakers include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, Stephen Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. If you would like to attend the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. And by the way, there are other conferences that the Banner of Truth runs that they may have a conference closer to you. We have listeners all over the world, and we know that we have many on the west coast of the United States. We have many listeners in the United Kingdom, so if you'd like to go to an event that is in one of those areas rather than the Pennsylvania conference, well, then by all means, click on that link for more details. But if you're joining me, click on the East Coast Ministers Conference to be held May 28th through the 30th in right here in Pennsylvania. I please ask of you to make it a point to try to find out where I am so you could greet me and find out more about the program and perhaps give me recommendations on guests and so on. That's going to be held at the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And then finally, we have the Foundations Conference, another conference I love. And I strongly urge you, if you want to join me there on December 19th and 20th, that you register immediately, because the venue can only hold 200 people approximately. And the speakers at this conference in New York City, December 19th and the 20th, are Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, the Reverend Jeff Thomas, Richard Caldwell Jr., Reverend Armin Tomasian, Andrew Quigley, and Paul Washer has just been recently added to the roster. So if you'd like to attend, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Please let all of these ministries and organizations who are running these conferences know that you heard about these events from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That goes a long way by mentioning this program. It helps us to have contracts renewed and all kinds of things. We really want people to know if our program is being successfully used of God to promote the events of faithful brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We want them to know that you heard about their events from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to go away, you love downloading the free downloadable MP3s and sharing them with family, friends, and loved ones, you love the topics and guests that we have here that sometimes are never heard anywhere else, well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and you can also send in a check via snail mail, the old-fashioned way, to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and make out those checks to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and you'll see an address right there if you prefer the snail mail approach. But I have the caveats that I want you to remember that I try to remember to tell you every day. Never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for church and home. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands financially, then please donate as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can to ironsharpensironradio.com. Then click support, then click to donate now. If you do not belong to a church, a faithful, biblically sound church in your area, and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you're having a hard time finding a church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put in the subject line something like, I need a church home. I will help you find one. I have helped quite a number of people all over the world find churches near them, and some of those listeners have joined these churches as a result of contacting me. So please don't hesitate. Also, if you want to advertise with us, we urgently need your advertising dollars. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, then we will surely, enthusiastically help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well as your donations. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Now, you could also send in your questions to our guests today, Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, as we discuss open-air preaching. The email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. I have been told by my webmaster, by the way, that the website for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has been restored. It appears that we had too much traffic, and it shut down. I'm very technologically ignorant, so whatever went on there, because we had too much traffic, too many listeners logging in, it went down. But my webmaster has informed me and reassured me that it is back up. But we were going to go into the very important theme of the theology, the appropriate theology for open air preaching. I'm assuming, Ryan and Scott, that it would be the same theology that would be heard from the pulpit of a theologically sound church and from a private individual Christian sharing the gospel with somebody in a waiting room on a bus, a plane, train, or automobile waiting room, what have you. The gospel is the gospel, and true theology is the true theology. But tell us about this very important matter when it comes to open-air preaching.
Brian, why don't you... Theology matters in open-air preaching just as much as anywhere else. I think Scott mentioned this earlier as far as the history of the church, especially what you see today in contemporary open-air preaching. The Pelagians, the shock and awe guys, I would argue the guys who were doing a lot of the gimmicks and the gadgets whenever they go and preach, that comes from Arminian theology. And when you look at open air preaching, to me, and this is what we argue in the book, to me, Reformed theology is really the only theology that gives a basis for open air preaching, because we do believe in the sovereignty of God in salvation. We believe not only that God's word is going to be effective, but that God really is pleased whenever Christ is made much of and Christ is glorified. And so that's our primary focus. You know, when we go out and open air preach, we want Christ to be glorified. And when it comes to the salvation of souls, we know that it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that God does that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. And so that is why, as Reformed open-air preachers, we can just concentrate on the gospel. We can preach the gospel. We don't have to try to pander to man's emotions or man's will. And I think what is going on in the contemporary open-air preaching scene is because of just the domination of Arminian theology, it has really infiltrated even open-air preaching. And even, I would argue, even in the way that we as Reformed believers do evangelism. And so that's why Scott did point out that, you know, a lot of the criticism about open-air preaching comes from the fact that people, they are evaluating whether or not the open-air preaching is effective based on how human beings react to the gospel. And if we go back to the Bible, we find out that lost people have never responded well to the proclamation of the gospel. And of course, it's going to be the same thing when you're open-air preaching. And so I mean, there's no doubt in my mind Reformed theology is everything. It's more than essential when it comes to open-air preaching. And Scott, go ahead, brother. I'm sure you have some of the same sentiments.
Well, I mean, yeah, Ryan did a great job just kind of summarizing. At the end of the day, you know, if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, you are going to resort either to man-centered approaches, you know, you're going to try to make the man the center of the message, or you're going to shilly-shally on the offense of the gospel, that he is not able to, in and of himself, regenerate himself. He needs a savior, not just...
By the way, you've introduced me to a new slang term. What does shilly-shally mean?
Oh, shilly-shally. Well, I'll tell you, I got that from one of my professors when I was in seminary, a guy named Steve Brown, who was my preaching professor. And so to shilly-shally is to kind of, it's a form of cowardice when you kind of slide out of a situation instead of stepping up and facing the heat.
This is the Steve Brown from Reformed Theological Seminary with the...
Yeah, yeah.
With the voice so deep, it makes me sound like a girl.
Yeah, like Steve would say to me, I have a face that was made for radio. So shilly-shallying is just, you know, not stepping up and taking the heat of the confrontation, you know, or compromise. You and I would call it compromise, but it's a Southern term, I guess. And so, you know, if you don't believe that God is sovereign, you're going to do either man-centered, or you're going to try to save yourself some of the confrontation that's going to come. And so Ryan and I both just believe, you know, we're immortal till the Lord calls us home. We really have nothing to fear. Step up, open that Bible, let God control the crowd. And I've seen it, as has Ryan, hundreds and hundreds of times where the very people who are giving you the most trouble are the ones in tears by the time that you're done preaching. And so God's going to have his way. And he uses his word to accomplish his purposes, but when ministers, and I'm gonna just throw this out for a second, when ministers take a pragmatic approach that I'm not seeing results, and so this doesn't work, they're missing what God's doing. He may not be doing anything we can see. Often it isn't something we can see, but that's his business. Our business is standing up. Pardon me?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Our job is to stand at our post. like Jesus said, if I tell him to come and I tell you to stay, what business is that of yours, talking to Peter? So, you know, our job is to stand at the post. I go in front of abortion clinics every week. I hate going there. I only go there for one reason, just to make much of Christ. I mean, my flesh hates going there. I'm made fun of. It's all the things I would never pick. But God didn't say, Scott, pick the things you want to do. I'm just supposed to stand at my post, and it's his business what he does with it. And if his goal is simply for me to have my flesh abased for his glory, that's a good enough goal for me. And I think we've got to impart, and I've tried to do this by my contacts with some of the seminaries, we've got to get ministers to get past worrying if people like them. We need to ask ourselves the question, is God pleased with what I'm doing? And if God's pleased with what I'm doing, this has been a successful day. This has been a day where there's been results. This has been a day where people made decisions, and not based it on people raising their hands and making professions of faith that may not be credible. So that comes from your theology.
Right, and to just define a couple of things for our listeners, because of phrases that you used, sometimes we have listeners that are new Christians that are from traditions outside of the Reformed faith, and we sometimes even have Muslims and others listening.
Oh.
But Arminians and Pelagians, an Arminian would be one who would agree with a lot of what we as Reformed Christians believe, but they believe that ultimately a man, a sinful man, apart from regeneration, has some kind of an innate ability to make a decision to follow Christ, and therefore he is the one that ultimately determines where he's going to be spending an eternity, whereas a Reformed Christian obviously believes that everything is ordained by a sovereign God who's in control of everything, and even our very gift of faith, the fact that we made a decision to follow Christ after our regeneration, and that's a key phrase there, after
right.
our regeneration,
right.
that is all from God. It had nothing to do with some innate goodness in us or innate ability. And a Pelagian is farther away from what we would believe as an Arminian, because they don't even believe in the original sin that has been passed down from Adam to all of humanity. They believe that infants are conceived in their mother's womb basically morally neutral, and they have to learn how to sin by observing their fellow humans, and there's a whole lot of other things that involve with Pelagianism. They don't even believe grace is a necessary element of somebody coming to faith in Christ and being saved. They think it's helpful, but it's not necessary, and so on and so forth. So would you say that the majority of what is out there under the guise of open-air preaching, unfortunately, is involving those who are Arminian and, even worse, Pelagian?
Yeah, I would definitely say that that's true. And by the way, you know, the Reformed, I mean, you can put the Reformed perspective in three or four words. Regeneration precedes faith, and regeneration precedes saving faith. That's the Reformed principle. And so you either believe that or you don't. And the Arminian and the Pelagian don't believe that regeneration precedes saving faith, so they're going to put the onus on man and man's ability, either a complete ability or a partial ability. But the Reformed preacher has confidence in God's ability, and he's promised that he'll in the day of his power, he'll show himself strong, he'll do and accomplish what it is he sets his word to do. So, you know, yes, the majority are, I'd say, Pelagian, but I do see a wonderful turn, and that's part of what I've done. The reason I left my school and started Schoolmaster Ministries was simply to mentor younger preachers. I mean, I never saw myself as a career open-air preacher who was going to make a living from it. That's a unique call. It's a call Ryan has. But my call was more mentor the younger men that are coming up next, because I'm 63. So when I left my school, I'd already, by God's grace, be able to support myself. So I was able to just kind of do this for free as something I wanted to do to impact the open-air community and turn the tide. And I'm seeing hundreds and hundreds of guys over the last 10 years, most of them weekend warriors, but hundreds of guys that now understand, you know, the Reformed perspective on open-air preaching. And even though they can only get out there, you know, for an hour or two on a Saturday, they're starting to have a message where the reliance is upon the sovereignty of God rather than giving away candy or holding up a $20 bill or, you know, just some of the gimmicks that have used through the years by people. Just confidence in the preached word of God. And that's, you know, that comes from your theology.
Now, one thing that we are often told by those outside of the Reformed faith, especially Christians outside of the Reformed faith, Arminians and so on, is that, why are you even doing this open-air preaching or any evangelism at all? Because if God has this rigged from before the foundation of the world, who is going to believe, and he is not giving this gift of faith to others, in fact, the majority of humanity whom he has created, then why even bother with this open-air preaching or any kind of preaching and radio and television evangelism and writing on and on and on? You know, we'll answer that question if you could. And then we have to go to our final break here. If you could, Ryan, we'll start with you, and then Scott, we'll follow up with you.
You know, God uses means. I mean, that's what you see throughout Scripture. God uses means. It's a great privilege to be able to go out and actually take part in, you know, in no way is it our doing that when it comes to someone's salvation, but it's a great privilege to be able to go forth and to know that God actually has told us to go out and do this. I mean, that's however you look at it, you can look at it from the fact that it's a command that Christ gives us to go, but it is a reality that God uses human beings to go out and to share his message, and by using human beings like us, who are very fallible and prone to make mistakes and blunder in our speech and all these other things, the fact is that God uses human beings like us to deliver that message, and to the extent that he does that, he gets more praise and more glory for it, because in ourselves, we're nothing. And so it's just, you know, God being sovereign has also sovereignly ordained how it is that he wants the gospel to go forth in order to save those people that he has sovereignly chosen to save. And so it's a great privilege to be able to just jump in and to know that God really is using us.
And Scott?
Well, Ryan did a good job. Yeah, that was a very, very concise. So I would agree it is the means God's chosen, although God reserves the right to work against means and through means, and you know, I mean, but what he's given us to do is means. So, if the means that we are supposed to be using is to exalt Christ by His word, then that's the means God's given us. He's given us the Bible, and He is going to definitely promise if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. So, we have confidence that in God's sovereignty there will be abundant reaping, but it's not up to us to see it. And in fact, I think probably God hides most of it to enhance our joy on the day of glory and force us to walk by faith and not get, you know, too uppity. but the other thing, you know, that Ryan mentioned is this great privilege of being just identified with Jesus Christ and feeling just a little bit what it was like for him to be rejected constantly throughout his whole life. And I think for me, it's given me an even greater love for Christ, what he was willing to suffer, you know, as a real man. God and man is a real man suffering the whip of the world, in a sense, the rejection of the world, even the rejection of his family. And something about the privilege of being identified with Christ and tasting a little bit of that rejection gives me a greater love for him. And if there was nothing else that was gained than a more fervent love for Christ, you know, that to me is, I mean, that's a payoff as it is.
Yes, and let us not forget that evangelism is a command of God himself to every Christian. Of course, not that open-air preaching is a command to every single person, because I'm sure you both would believe that there are only certain individuals who are qualified to be involved in open-air preaching, and I'll have you address that when we return from our final break. But it is a means, but it's also a commanded means. We are not to keep our mouths shut about our faith when we are having lunch or dinner with our neighbors, or we are having some social time with our colleagues at work or any other realm of life, even our own family over a Thanksgiving dinner table. We are not to just keep our mouths shut and keep it as most of humanity who has any respect for religion regards it as something personal and private between you and your maker. That is not the way Christians are to view the only hope for the salvation of the lost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, we're going to our final break right now, and if you want to join us, I would do so now, forever hold your peace, because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Ryan Denton and Scott Smith on Open Air Preaching.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org. Two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. we fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths. Desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our Ladies' Fellowship and our Children's Sunday School class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W. R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is our last 15 minutes of today's program. I already know that I want to invite back onto the program Ryan Denton and Scott Smith to continue the discussion on A Certain Sound, a primer on open air preaching. So I will do that when we go off the air. But if you have any questions that you'd like to ask, send them in now because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. And I mentioned before the break that I'd like you to address who should and who should not be involved in open air preaching.
I think the stance that we take primarily is just mature Christians. Certainly men, that comes out of, you know, straight from Scripture, 1 Timothy, that because this is different from evangelism, like you've already mentioned, there are, I would say, different qualifications or maybe even restrictions when it comes to open-air preaching. That's the stance I would take, and I think a good basis for that would be the Christian that you find in 1 Timothy and Titus chapter 1, 1 Timothy 3, that is. I mean, that to me, it's, you know, I've met a lot of guys, and I'm sure Scott's met even more, who
and I think we could say the same thing. We don't feel adequate to be open-air preaching. And so I think a lot of times we can kind of evaluate ourselves, which is great, and say, well, you know what? I'm not worthy to preach the gospel on the streets, therefore I won't, which is not great. You know, in other words, you'll never get to the place where you're worthy enough or you're holy enough or you're refined enough to be able to preach. And yet at the same time, like you see in Scott's life, especially in all of our lives, but Scott's life especially, there is a period in which God does mold you and shape you. I know for me, the first time I saw somebody open-air preaching, it was right after I was converted. I was 23, and something clenched, and just I had to do that. I had to go out and preach in the open air, but it was, for me, it was about 6 or 7 years before I actually went out and did it. And through that period, I was not ready at 23. And there are still so many things that I'm working on and working through just running the Christian race. But at the end of the day, I think the tendency is to make some of these things an excuse to keep people off, because your flesh is going to look for any excuse possible not to go out. And so sometimes I think that can be a factor. But it is to say that it is very important to be a mature Christian, mainly because of the things that you're going to encounter when you do go out. There are so many opportunities to get into the flesh whenever you go out and open air preach. It's hugely important to make sure that you are walking in the Spirit. You know, even as Reformed people, I think we should be able to say that we are constantly trying to live in a way that pleases God, whether we're open air preaching or not. And so I think that's what you have. I think a mature Christian.
Anything to add, Scott?
Well, you know, Ryan articulated what our end game is. Our end game is obviously to have people who add to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, so that they become, you know, even maybe seminary trained, so that they bring their zeal up to a place where they're also operating from a place of knowledge. But my one caveat, I'm sure Ryan won't disagree, is, you know, you take the Gadarene demoniac, and the Gadarene demoniac was powerfully delivered by Christ. And Jesus said, look, you can't come with me, but go back and tell everybody what you did, what I did for you, what God did for you. Well, I can't imagine that Gadarene demoniac just sitting around doing one-on-ones in a coffee shop. I mean, when you've experienced that kind of great deliverance by a sovereign God who cared enough about you to rescue you from your misery, you're going to want to shout it from the housetops. And so my one caveat would be, just like the blind man, I don't know, you know, whether this man's a sinner, but what I know is I was blind and now I see. You know, sometimes the zeal of a young convert is very infectious and beautiful, and so I don't want to squelch it. I just sometimes have to say to a young convert now, remain teachable and make sure there are men in your life that are checks and balances, but the truth is it's such a unique call from God that I just don't think you can stop a man who's genuinely called. But I would say what Paul said to Timothy, wait on your ministry. That would be my general counsel to young men, is wait on your ministry. You know, study to show yourself approved. Make sure you know the Bible. Make sure you understand your theology. But you know, there's no acid test. There's no litmus test to know for sure when a guy's ready. It's such a personal thing that, you know, Ryan's articulated our end game. We want to see everybody moving in a direction. But at the end of the day, I can't judge another man's servant. Sometimes God puts some odd ducks right on the front line.
Chris, if I could ask something real quickly, I think the church is a great place for that to be evaluated. I think the difficulty, though, is, again, going back to what we started out with, there are very few churches that are actually on board with open-air preaching and actively attempting to help men get out and do it. And so I think that's one of the other reasons for writing this book, is so that by God's grace, it can be used even not just for open-air preachers, but for pastors and for ministers and for churches to be able to read this and say, okay, we have some guys in our church who want to open-air preach. How should we go about getting them out there? You know, because a lot of pastors are unfamiliar. This is unfamiliar territory. And so I think, I mean, the local church is a great place, but there the difficulty is that there's very few places where you can go and actually be supported in this type of ministry. And so I think there is tension there.
We have only time today for one questioner. She has two questions, one for each of you. But Susan in Setauket, Long Island, New York, First of all, for Ryan asks, how difficult is it to separate the Native American desire to keep to traditional practices in their religious life and the necessary incorporation of biblical Christianity to their worship? Obviously, Susan is referring to your experiencing as a pastor on the Navajo reservation. So if you could please respond to that. And it has to be a summary form because we're running out of time.
Right. Yeah, the Native Americans, one of the things that surprised me most was that there has been a lot of groundwork already done in, on the Navajo reservation as far as Christianity goes. So you have churches there, and the main difficulty is that in their traditions, in their beliefs, they're very syncretistic in the sense that they'll take on Christianity. It's almost like the Hindus, you know, they have no problem believing in Jesus or calling Jesus Lord or anything like that, but they're also going to take in all the other gods. And so that's the two things. And it's very difficult, of course, to try to really define and spell out, okay, what exactly are we talking about when we talk about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ? And what does Christ mean whenever he says, you know, he is the way, the truth, the life? And so it is difficult, but at the same time, there has been a lot of work already done. There's churches over there. There's still more work to be done because most of the churches are not biblical churches, but I hope that helps. But there's it'll take a lot longer than a couple minutes to respond adequately to that. So question, though.
Well, perhaps when you come back the next time, God willing, we'll have you do that. And Susan's question for Scott Smith is, what about classical education fueled your desire to transition into open-air preaching?
Well, you know, open-air classical education is about helping people think, and it imparts a certain set of skills, dialectic, rhetoric, grammar, certain skills. And so what I realized is that a lot of Christians get to their colleges and they're browbeat, and they don't have that set of skills that they need to actually stand up to their fellow students or in particular professors and take a stand for things they know to be true. And a classical education gives you a great confidence that you can discern what is true, what is good, what is beautiful, and it gives you a set of skills whereby you feel capable and empowered to actually articulate that position. So, I mean, I'm a big believer in classic education. You can see how we got kids into Harvard and Yale and Princeton and, you know, Oxford and Cambridge when they were 12 or 13 years of age, because they had a set of academic skills and the ability to use those skills to advance truth, and in particular truth about Christ. So it was a great preparation for me. A teacher always learns more than the student, and I taught every grade from 4th through 12th at some college. And so, you know, I just had a confidence that I understood what the issue really was. I had a confidence that God's word would not return void. And the only thing that I felt was lacking is just people saying, Lord, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm willing, you deserve it. And so I think that did help me personally tremendously, not only in that regard, but also all the different subjects I had a chance to study before getting out in the open air, because they always want to make the preacher look dumb. And so once they realize, oh, I'm not going to be able to pull that over on him, he does seem to know a lot about a lot of things, then there's sort of there's a certain sense in which they kind of respect you a little bit more and maybe listen a little bit better.
Okay, well, thank you, Susan, in Setauket, Long Island, New York. Excellent questions, and keep listening and keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Long Island or on Long Island and beyond. We have time for one more question. We have Ronald, also on Long Island in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. We have Ronald who asks, I heard Tony Miano, an open-air preacher on your show, say that he would insist if somebody is participating with him in open-air preaching that they have the approval and calling of their own local elders and congregation. Would you have the same requirement for those you believe are qualified to open-air preach? Otherwise, in my opinion, they would be going against the wishes of their God-ordained leaders.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Go for it, Ryan.
It's complicated. I would definitely agree with that. That's a practice I try to maintain here in El Paso. I have a great supportive church here. But again, the reality is that it's difficult for an open-air preacher to find a local church that supports what he does, and not just lip service, but really really seeing the need and the necessity and the burden and the call of open air preaching. So go ahead.
Wouldn't you think that he would need at least lip service, though, so that they?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's where it starts for sure, no doubt. But the difficulty is because I think what happens is pastors know that open air preaching is biblical, and so they can't. You know, a biblical pastor is not going to say, no, you shouldn't be doing that. I don't see that in the Bible. They know it's in the Bible. The difficulty is really seeing the call to do that and trying to equip that man to be able to fulfill that call. Now, there are churches out there, believe me, there are many churches out there across America, a few even in the UK, that do support open-air preaching. So we're not trying to say none of them do, but it is a reality that a lot of times it is difficult to find somebody who is supportive. And yeah, of course, I mean, I would definitely take the view, and that's something that we argue in the book, that the importance of the local church.
And wouldn't you say though that a person, a member of a church, though, if their elders are saying to you, we don't think you're qualified to do this, we don't think that you understand the scriptures well enough, we don't think that your oratory skills, your homiletic abilities are really appropriate for the, I mean, shouldn't they listen to their elders about that?
Yes, absolutely. And I would say absolutely. Yes, and again, I would argue also that I mean, some guys are just not qualified to preach. Spurgeon talks about that in the lectures to my students. I think he has a great chapter on that. That not everybody who thinks they're called to preach should be preaching. I would say the same thing with guys in the open air. Sometimes, you know, there are just guys that probably shouldn't be doing open air preaching. That is not to say though that they should just be written off automatically.
Right,
they are lacking those gifts. So. Yeah, great question.
Well, you know,
complicated.
There's always a little balance to this, and here's my one little comment of balance, and that would be even Tony will tell you he had some churches that didn't agree with him
right.
open-air preaching, and he had to leave those churches. So I think in a perfect world, in an ideal setting, we'd like to see every street preacher plugged into a good Bible-believing Reformed church, and I think that most of the guys that we know would love to have that and try to find it. But I'll give you just a quick example before we run out of time. I was attending a Presbyterian church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I had a minister who was a wonderful brother, and he used to go out and preach with me at the clinics and preach with me on the streets and loved open-air preaching and spoke about it from the pulpit, how it's important that we as a church be doing this. And then when he left and another minister came in, he immediately did 180 and said, no, if you're not, if you haven't been ordained in the OPC, you're not allowed to open-air preach. I mean, so sometimes we have to just be careful with super hard and fast rules and try to say to a guy, look, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, you really need to be plugged in someplace. But we understand there are some guys who, for whatever presuppositions they hold, they're going to look down on you. And that's just the sad reality of the world we live in. And it's part of where a street preacher has to really be tough is to ask himself the question, am I resisting being guided or am I getting some bad guidance? And it's not just a clear cut-and-dried situation.
Right. I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the contact information that they need to get a hold of my guests. First of all, we have the website christinthewild.com, christinthewild.com. That is the ministry of our guest, Ryan Denton. Scott Smith has a ministry also that we want to highlight for you. Schoolmasterministries.com, schoolmasterministries.com, Reformation Heritage Books, who publishes the book that we are addressing, A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching. That website is heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org. And, of course, you could always purchase any book highlighted on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at cvbbs.com, the website of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. I also want to give a brief caveat about something I said earlier in the beginning of the program. I didn't want to give you the false impression that I think a ministry who stops conducting open-air preaching in a specific geographic area is guilty of cowardice or being ashamed of the gospel. Obviously, there are reasons why that may be the case, why that may be necessary, or why that may be prudent. I know specifically brothers in Christ who very appropriately stopped doing open-air evangelism in a certain area that was saturated with nasty, hateful, unbiblical King James only type mavericks who are just spewing hate speech rather than the gospel in a loving and compassionate way, and they just decided not to be identified with groups like this, people who aren't even members of local churches, and they ceased doing their open-air evangelism in that specific geographic area. So I just want to make that clarification. But I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.